Welcome to the Guiding Parent Podcast, where you'll find the mindset and tools to parent with greater confidence, clarity, and purpose, even when there aren't any easy answers. Together, we're going to explore how to better nurture and guide our children to support who they are and who they're becoming, so that they can fulfill their unique potential and thrive in our ever-changing world. I'm Tammy Ulrich, your host, parenting and early childhood educator, mom, and most fun, Gammy.
And I'm Shannon, your co-host. I'm Tammy's daughter and mom to a very energetic little dude called H. We're glad you're here. Let's get started.
There's no such thing as perfect parenting. So many of us are striving to do everything right, to be the perfect parent. And some of us gave up on that long ago and are just trying to get through the day and be good enough. I can't even tell you how many times I've gotten the Bad Mommy Award. When you were born, Shannon, man, I didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't believe they were going to let me take this precious little tiny baby home with me. And I've been working with kids. I had an education in early childhood. You know, I was supposed to know something, but it was like, oh my God, I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm doing. I was sure every car on the road was aimed right at us. And then we had this very happy, bouncy dog, and I was just sure he was going to maul you. And anyway, I was terrified. Things got better, and then Justin came along. And then that was a whole nother thing. You know, and that met with having to balance not only parenting, but I was back at work after 3 days, which was not the plan. But now here I am, you know, trying to be a working mom way too soon. Anyway, it's just all of us have our stories and these pieces that we feel, you know, we've got the fear and the self-doubt and we feel guilty and often we're frustrated and sometimes we just don't know what to do. And then we end up, you know, having a toddler with a temper tantrum right in the middle of the grocery aisle and people are staring at us and we're looking bad and we start to really question our parenting even more and think, oh no, we're raising a spoiled child, or we look on Instagram and all these perfect moms and feel like we just don't fit. And we just start comparing ourselves with all these other parents and, you know, looking at what looks like it's perfect, but it really isn't.
I remember when Henry was little, it was really challenging for me because he developed a lot more quickly physically probably than he did like academically, or even, you know, the things that we think of as academic skills, but when they're really little, you know, that's not so much that, but like he would be at the very top of a play structure and I would feel judged by other parents because he was so capable, but then there'd be the mom that was like literally running, trying to catch him, and he was fine. And I knew he was fine, but you know, I'd get stink eye from another mom because I was letting my, you know, 2-year-old, he was tiny, go way too high. Happened also when he would climb trees, and, you know, and then comparing myself because, you know, by the time he started kindergarten, a lot of his peers had no problem, you know, with reading and, you know, those kinds of skills. And he took a lot longer to develop, you know, reading and writing kind of skills. And so, yeah, you just constantly are feeling like, you know, oh, well, he needs to do more here. And I am clearly the problem because, you know, as parents, I feel like that's what we do. We blame ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy, I think, to fall down that rabbit hole of I need to be doing something differently, or, you know, I'm not enough, which, you know, then for a lot of parents just spirals and it can be really, really challenging.
We got to give ourselves, you know, we need to give ourselves a break because every child's different. Every child develops at their own pace, at their own rate. And I mean, look at him now. He's very well balanced. You know, that was really the case with you too, was, you know, you just had to develop into this nice balance. And when I feel like when we are nurturing all the, you know, nurturing the little person in front of us and how they're showing up in any given moment, that's what happens. It all does level out and they do get to either being able to run and climb, or they get to reading and, you know, doing those things when it's all their time to do that. And we just need to stay cool and not be comparing ourselves all the time. We also have those moments where, you know, everything just gets to be too much and we're just so frustrated by the constant of, I mean, like H was such an active little guy, just always on the go, and you just had to keep up and stay calm and patient when he's demanding this and demanding that. And I remember my grandma used to talk about my mom and tell me stories about how impatient she'd get with my mom. And every day she'd tell herself, I'm not going to yell at Nancy. I'm not going to yell at Nancy. And then she'd laugh and say, and then I rarely made it past breakfast. So, you know, it's just, we've all got our little things that, you know, we're juggling with trying to be parents and do what we need to do for the little people that we have. And we just kind of have to move past that and, you know, remember that, you know, we're doing the best we can. And it does start with us. I mean, our very first principle is it starts with you. So, you know, we need to look inside what's going on for us, because a lot of the time when we feel like we're struggling as parents, it's because we're overtired or we're hangry or we're stressed. We've got some other piece going on. So we need to, you know, address that too. What's going on for me? What do I need to meet my own needs? But also, you know, thinking about who do I want to be as a parent? Do I really want to be striving to be this perfect parent, or do I want to be a real parent and really be, you know, create connection and create, you know, a nice relationship with my child? So, you know, I know you had a lot of juggling to do it throughout Henry's early years.
Yeah, especially, you know, when Henry was really little, my husband deployed 3 times, I think before he was 4. And so we would have these, you know, 6-plus month stretches where it was just him and I. And we had family that was like 3 hours away. And so I did have a lot more support than a lot of, you know, my fellow military spouse peers. But, you know, you definitely get into that slog of the day to day. Like, I got to get this kid to daycare and then I have to go to work. And then we get home and I'm exhausted because I've been at work all day and, you know, he's been away from me all day. So he wants my attention, and how to balance all of those competing needs and feeling, you know, like I was on a, you know, wire edge of constantly being overstimulated and out of patience and, you know, just really fighting to feel like I was enough for him in those moments. And like, that was really, really challenging. And I don't know, trying to figure out, yeah, how to be the best when, you know, at the same time, looking back now, I can recognize, you know, it was a situation where there wasn't an easy, oh, you just do ABC and then everything will be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. You know, the reality was that it was a slog of, you know, however long he was gone to get through, you know, with a child that was really, really active and really, really busy and, you know, probably would have qualified as like a high needs kid. But, you know, finding ways to take care of myself so that then I could also take care of him. That was, I think, the biggest balance to figure out.
And it's so important. You know, parents often feel like, you know, they just have to take care of what's going on and our needs get put on the back burner. But, you know, it's got to be where we're making sure that we find time for us as well, because otherwise you don't have the bandwidth. You don't have the energy to.
Yeah. If I had put my needs on the back burner, we both would have
crashed and burned. Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't have been able to take care of us. Yeah. And so, you know, what that ended up looking like for us was that I ended up cutting back. So I worked 3/4 time instead of full time, which gave me a little bit more bandwidth to, you know, be present at home. But, you know, that then flipped that whole situation and I felt like I maybe wasn't the best employee that I could be. So yeah, there were all sorts of layers of guilt.
Yes.
During that time. And, you know, removed from that now, I can look back and be like, no, I did what needed to be done to take care of me, to take care of him. And, you know, I don't have that lingering guilt anymore, but it definitely took a while to work through to find, you know, I don't think it was until the second time that he was gone that, you know, we figured out, like, I literally cannot be everything at one time.
Absolutely.
And started to make changes. And, you know, we did end up going down, you know, to my mom's house more frequently so that I had more support and, you know, trying to find the different balances in that regard too. And so then I could, you know, have at least a shower without some little person in my business, have a couple of bathroom breaks by myself. Yeah, but yeah, it does. It's a, you know, And it's never going to be a one size fits all. There were things that, you know, worked for H and I and our family that, you know, wouldn't have worked for other families and vice versa. So, you know, it kind of does have to be that situation where you're, you know, try this, see what works. That doesn't work. All right, throw it out, try something different until you do find something that makes it maybe not easy, but, you know, adds that element of ease into the situation.
And that's one of the biggest pieces for, you know, for the guiding mindset, and is that it isn't a one size fits all. It's like, we need to, you know, use the principles. We need to understand who our little person is, you know, what our needs are in any given moment, what their needs are in any given moment, and look at development, you know, all the pieces that come into play. And then we can figure out, you know, what is the best thing to do in this moment for this child, for this situation. So it really does take looking at the whole picture and not trying to just have if A, then B, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, because, you know, it just doesn't work like that. Children are just too,
absolutely,
too different. You know, and it also depends on, you know, who we are. You know, what are our own childhood experiences? How were we parented? Because we bring that in. We bring how we were parented in, and that affects our parenting. So, you know, we've got to look at ourselves in that regard, too. Who do I want to be as a parent, and what's really important to me? What are the most important things I want to give to my child or make sure for them? And, you know, if we had less than positive parenting, you know, that's going to affect our abilities unless we really become conscious and we really look at those. So we really want to break those cycles, you know, see who do I want to be and what do I need to do to get there so that we can start to be aware, you know where our buttons are. Because, you know, when those buttons are pushed, and oh, kids are so good at pushing buttons. They're just, you know, take one to an elevator there and push all the buttons. So we want to, you know, we need to be aware of those buttons that are getting pushed. I know you get to have your buttons pushed every now and then, just a little bit.
And I don't know why, like, of all of the things, I mean, for me, the thing that I think is the absolute hardest is helping Henry with homework. And I have no idea why, but for some reason we just against each other whenever, you know, that's what he needs to do. And so, you know, I do try and be really present with him when he's doing his, you know, at work after school, just to make sure that it gets done and it's, you know, he's fully grasping these concepts. But it has taken us years to get to a point where we don't both end up insanely frustrated and don't know. Yeah. I still, to this day, don't know why that's one of the things that's the hardest for me, but yeah. And so the biggest part for me in resolving that was recognizing it and being like, okay, this is something that we're struggling with. And so I had to do a whole lot of work of, I mean, I still don't know why exactly, but okay, what do we do with that? So I know this is something that's going to constantly irk me, constantly irritate me. And so, you know, set myself up. Okay, I have water, I have a snack, you know, the same things that I do for him. Mm-hmm. You know, does he have water? Does he have a snack? You know, we had a routine so that we did homework at the same time pretty much every single day. And it's still not perfect. We still, you know, there'll be times where he gets frustrated because he doesn't want to do it. And I get frustrated because he's frustrated. And everybody's frustrated. But yeah, I feel like after last school year was a little bit better and we were able to, you know, kind of get into a groove finally. But yeah, I mean, literally years of that being one of the big things that was really challenging for me.
I think you really brought up a good area is you had your snack and your water. And that, you know, this is kind of the same things that you would do for him. And that's true. Our needs aren't that different.
Yeah. If I'm not okay, obviously that's going to trickle into our relationship.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and anything, you know, you can't always plan for everything, obviously, but whenever you can, it really seems to make a difference when you can, you know, be proactive and try and get on top of those situations before they devolve.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I feel like one of the things that came out of that was, you know, recognizing that when I did lose my patience with him, that it was really important that we then kind of came back around and reconnected, did a little bit of repair work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that kept it from turning into, it stayed within that situation. So it wasn't like that then bled into the rest of our relationship. we could butt heads while we were, you know, doing his schoolwork. And then afterwards, it pretty much snapped right back into our normal relationship. But that definitely took, you know, work on building our connection.
And which is something we have to consistently work on, is nurturing that connection, you know, that being a principle as well. It's foundational. You know, it always comes back to, you know, making sure we're nurturing that connection, making sure that that connection is strong. You know, our kids don't need us to be perfect. They need us to feel, they need to feel connected. They need to feel connected to us. So, you know, and so often when we're trying to be perfect or we're trying to make everything perfect, then that's when everything falls completely apart, because we're not focused on connection. We're focused on all this outside stuff and trying to make everything, you know, like think about the holidays and trying to make the perfect, wonderful little holiday, but we're so busy, we forget to be present, you know, present in the moment. We had a trip not too long ago where we tended to frustrate H just a little bit, thinking we were creating the most perfect fun. You remember when we went ice
skating? Henry does not like to ice skate. And it's one of the few athletic endeavors that I'm decent at. And so I always want him to be into it too. And he's not. And it wasn't fun for him. And, you know, we, again, struggled to try and kind of find a way to make it fun for him. And in the end, just had to recognize that, like, not everything is everybody's. And, you know, it's okay that it's not his jam. Like, just like we struggle, you know, as parents to, you know, be perfect. We don't want to create a situation where then our child is doing, you know, the same kind of thing and feeling like they're forced into a specific role.
Right.
And making sure, you know, that they're not being forced into that either.
I was just thinking.
But yeah, it also kind of reminds me of when I was a kid and you were trying to, you know, undo a little situation. My little brother had lost a tooth. Oh. And my mom forgot to put money under his pillow. And so he sent me to do it. And not realizing that at that point, I was like 90% sure that the tooth fairy wasn't real.
I thought she knew at this point. Sure.
And so that was my introduction. Like, okay, it's official. But it took until that moment. And so I remember talking about it years later and she was horrified. I was like, actually, I kind of think that was the perfect transition from, you know, believing to then getting to participate in the magic of it all. And so even though I think for her for a little while, it felt like
a parenting fail.
It was less than perfect. Yeah.
I forgot. And now here it was. Only the tooth fairy didn't come. I'm like, oh geez. So Shannon, quick. I'm glad it turned out positive. And that, you know, often we think our parenting, you know, our parenting fails are just that. And it turns out they're not as bad as we thought. Another big one for me is just, you know, working and having the school. I mean, it took so much of our life, so much of our time, you know, because I was the owner administrator. And there were times even that you guys, you know, went to bed. Or at least took a long nap
after
school. So I had a lot of guilt and I had a lot of resentment around that, and was really happy finding out later when you guys were adults that you only had good memories about it. You never felt like you were shortchanged somehow. And so that was good to find out that wasn't a parenting fail either. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my memories of being at the school when I was little, you know, first of all, feeling like the queen of the castle because my mom was in charge. And like, I was, you know, if mom's in charge, then obviously I'm like second in command. But yeah, I mean, it was cool to get to be a part of. And, you know, as soon as I was old enough to not go, then I got to be, you know, an assistant teacher. Up until the point that I could really be an actual assistant teacher, which was incredible. And like, you know, as an adult looking back, there's so much I learned about child development, about, you know, even parenting, just by being around young children. And I feel like that, you know, was invaluable and really beneficial then when I became a parent and, you know, I had a preschool aged kiddo. And so, yeah, I don't have any negative feelings about it, but it is interesting, you know, to compare that, you know, we have different experiences of the same circumstances.
And what it really boils down to, you know, at the end of the day, it comes back to connection. And even though I was busy and everything was go, 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 we were connected, you know, and you being there, I mean, mm-hmm. I really was blessed because I got to have you at work with me. So we had that, you know, it would have been harder if I was working long hours away from you, but at least we still, you know, we were still able to have that, you know, to have that connection. But
yeah, we just had to make a couple rules around the school to make sure we didn't have too much connection. And I stayed in my classroom and you got to actually do your work.
Yes, they would actually misbehave. Both her and her brother would misbehave. So they'd get sent to the office. So we had to switch that around a little bit so that's not where you came if you misbehaved.
Yeah, the consequences had to not be going to the office.
And we had to make it legitimate way for you to come visit so that you didn't feel like mm-hmm. I was being kept away from you. But yeah, so a lot of times too.
Yeah, you know, to keep us from getting spicy just so we can go see mom.
But that's part of it too, is figuring out, okay, you know, this is the behavior that we don't want to be happening. So what is it saying? So it's saying they need to see me. They need, you know, to have some time to connection. And how can we do that in a more positive, you know, more positive way? But that often isn't what happens. You know, we often have some weird behavior come up. Our child's acting a certain way. We don't know why. We're tired. We're frustrated. And we fall short. We start yelling or threatening or punishing. Of course, I never did that. But, you know, except, you know, a handful or dozen, thousand times. Anyway. What's important is that, you know, we realize it when it happens. And we may also, you know, when we do those things, it's really obvious, you know we've done it. But there might be times too when our kids just kind of disconnect and we see something's missing. So there's something there. So maybe we were really rushed and weren't being aware of them, or we were dismissive of something they were feeling or something they were trying to tell us, or we're distracted. And so they feel it. And, or maybe, you know, they dump the eggs out over their head. Your brother did that one time. And we tend to, you know, maybe we overreact when something spills. And so when that happens, you know, our kids may withdraw. So it's just another time to notice that there's a disconnect and we need to, you know, we need to fix that. So whenever that happens, whenever we fall short, it doesn't mean we failed as parents or, you know, that's a terrible, bad thing. We can always come back and repair. So we don't have to be perfect because we can come back and we can fix it. And the really beautiful thing about that is that it teaches our kids that they don't have to be perfect either. And that when we make mistakes, it's okay. We fix them. We figure out what to do instead. So many parents are afraid to apologize to their children. They think they're going to lose power or something, or it makes them not the, you know, not the authority, but it makes all the difference in the world to our connection and to our, you know, our maintaining that relationship, or when something disconnects, to be able to bring that back. You know, we can just ask for a do-over.
And it doesn't have to be super formal either. Like, so yeah, we had, you know, a little situation probably in the last week or so in my house. And, you know, my husband was having a really long day, you know, had a really long day at work. He's got a partially torn rotator cuff, so he's a little extra cranky. And our son picked up on that and was just, you know, seeming a little bit around his dad. And, you know, my husband picked up on that too. And so, you know, it took all of maybe 3 minutes. And they just, you know, my husband acknowledged, like, hey, dude, this isn't how I want to be around you. You know, this is not about you. But also I need to do better and not let, you know, whatever's going on with me bleed into our relationship, and apologize to him. And like literally within just a couple of minutes, everything's back to normal and everybody's good to go again. And so I think it's really important to highlight that it doesn't need to be a, you know, sit down at the kitchen table and, you know, we have this big, huge, long, drawn out conversation about stuff. It can just be part of our, you know, day-to-day conversations. You know, something happens. Hey man, that wasn't ideal. Like, I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. And then we can all, you know, move forward. But yeah, being able to see your parents really own their own stuff too, I think is really helpful for kids as they grow. And, you know, I think that also then, you know, teaches them what to expect of relationships when they're adults as well. And so you get this whole, you know, process of of it starting with your own parents and then, you know, informing how you show up as an adult someday in, you know, adult relationships.
Which really boils down to our being real people and letting our kids see us as real people. We don't have to be this authority or whatever. We're real. So yeah. But kids don't need perfect parents. They need real parents. Yeah. You brought up, how Harry was acting also. And that just really, you know, talks to that behavior isn't communication just for our kids, but for us too. And it also tells the story of what might be going on for us and that we need something too. So, you know, when we have those moments, we just need to understand what's going on in the moment, what's going on for our kids developmentally. We need to understand who is this child? What do they need in this instance? And then, you know, am I flowing with that or am I trying to make them something that they're not? Am I working with, you know, their development with that inner essence that they have, or am I working against it? And, you know, what preparations would make things go a lot easier.
And then I know one of the things we learned really early on with H is that if he's hungry,
oh yes,
everything else falls off. Like that child, like, and it's super predictable. Like he gets super emotional. He gets super frustrated. Whatever's going on, his emotions get massively heightened. And we're like, oh, when was the last time he ate?
Right. And yes, sure, everybody in the family is very well aware that when H starts to get a little off, he probably needs food.
He probably needs food. And so, you know, at this point, we're decently good at being like, oh, let's, you know, preemptively fix this situation before he loses it.
Because once he's there, he often doesn't want food. Even though he needs it. So
I'm not hungry.
Yes. But yeah, that becomes a whole other
situation. Yeah, I mean, the more that you can, you know, figure those kinds of little triggers out for your kids, you know, does your child start to lose it when they're overtired? Does your child start to lose it, you know, when they've been around other people for too long? Overstimulated by, you know, whatever's going on in the environment. And you know, the more you can predict that and kind of work around it, the better it gets.
And again, we parent with more ease because we're being conscious and we're being aware. Well, so as we wrap up, we've got some tips for you. So when you're in that mode of feeling like you're trying to be the perfect parent or you're failing miserably being the perfect parent, check in with yourself. You know, what's going on for you? What do you need right now? You know, what needs might you need to meet for yourself? As well as your child's, and be thinking about too, what do you want for who they're going to become? So, you know, instead of trying to be perfect in this moment, play the long game. You know, what do we need to do long term to make sure we have a nice, solid, connected relationship? And then give yourself grace, reframe, you know, the situation, and then decide what is the right thing to do right now. Making sure that we really make that connection, that second tip, make sure we really hold that connection, that it really is all about connection. So even when perfection evades us, which it will, connection is what our kids really need. Because our third tip is that kids need real parents. So be real, just be you. And, show your kids that they don't have to be perfect either. And when they do, we all make mistakes. So our try this is next time you have a perceived parenting fail, you yell, you threaten, whatever it is, ask for a do-over. Okay. No, I didn't like how that went. Could we try again?
I think that's great. Definitely asking for a do-over can just sort of take the gunk out of a situation. I don't know a better word for it than that, but you know, it helps kids feel, you know, back again to that connection, you know, that parents are acknowledging that there's, you know, something that wasn't ideal. And so it keeps that resentment from growing and just makes it so that, yeah, we can go back into a, you know, calm, easeful relationship.
We can parent with more ease, peace, and joy. Thanks for joining us today on the Guiding Parent Podcast. Remember, behavior is communication. Connection leads to cooperation. And with understanding and intention, we can parent with greater ease, peace, and joy.
Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And we're here for you. Let us know in the comments what other topics you'd like to hear about.
Click the link in the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter and visit the Guiding Mindset website for articles and resources to support you on your parenting journey.
Until next time, this is Tammy and Shannon with you on the journey.